This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Thank you all for coming. My name is Detlef Mertens. I'm the chair of the Department of Architecture here at the University of Pennsylvania. I want to welcome you all to this event, Evasions of Power. This is an event that has been organized in collaboration with a large cast. Not only is there a large cast of participants today in the drama that will unfold, but also in the organizing group. Surgeon Weiss, who is teaches here in our department, was one of the principal initiators, organizers of this event. Then I would have to say that Aaron Levy of the Slot Foundation. Aaron, where have you gone? At my right, has been tremendously instrumental in putting this together and also acting as co-host here in Philadelphia. As you know, today's events will transpire largely here, but then this evening at the Slot Foundation, just off campus. And we look forward to that, of course. Want to also thank Catherine Carl of the Drawing Center for her participation in organizing the event, as well as her participation here today. And last but in no way least, very strategically importantly, A.L. Weitzman and his PhD program at Goldsmith College have been central to this event, and many of the participants in that program, including A.L., are, of course, here today. So this is an event that establishes a very interesting series of relationships among several organizations here in Philadelphia and also in New York and in London with Goldsmith College. We're very, very pleased with this emerging set of relationships. I think it's fair to say that the topic of politics, the topic of architecture understood in a political register as a practice that is always political, is increasingly central to the culture of architecture, broadly speaking, and this event makes that reality also the case here in our own school. Look forward to how the panelists will unpack the provocative juxtaposition of evasion and power today. I'm going to leave that up to all of them. I just want to end by thanking a few other people. I want to thank Carrie Burgee, who has been instrumental here with students in organizing the staging of this event, as well as members of the lecture committee. I want to thank John Moore, the chair of the Department of Fine Art, for allowing us to be in this space concurrent with the final thesis review of the fine art students. So enjoy that experience as well on during moments where you have a chance to look around. The main part of the exhibition is also down below. And I want to thank my office staff, Mary O'Toole, Sarah Hasiuk and Christine Alushery for their help in all the logistics involved. So with that, I'm going to evade any further power and hand it over to the major power broker, Aaron Levy.
Hi, welcome. As Detlef has just said, my name is Aaron, and in addition to being the executive director at SLOT, I lecture in the English department at the University of Pennsylvania. So on behalf of both the university and of SLOT, it's really a pleasure to welcome you all here today. I prepared some remarks, and I apologize for them being formal and some with some length, but hopefully they'll give an introduction to the project in general in a way, and Sir John and Catherine will each talk to maybe the morning session in particular. Over the past few months, Sir John and Catherine and I have trespassed all sorts of hurdles and borders in conceiving this project and in soliciting each of your participation. So I'd like to, first of all, before we even go forward, thank Sir John and Catherine for your collaborative spirit and your intellectual and personal generosity. And as Detlef has just said, I'd like to thank, actually, most of your staff. Christine Alushery, Mary O'Toole, who's probably upstairs, Sarah Hasiuk, and the Penn architectural students that you also alluded to, Carrie Berge, A.G. Khan, Ben Mueller, Kevin Keller, and Gabby Sarhos. I'd also like to take a moment to thank the collaborating institutions and partners. They're quite long, this list. The Department of English, the Department of Art History here at Penn, which have both contributed to the proceedings today, but also the Eastern State Penitentiary Historic Site, which I'll speak more of briefly, and which at one point we had actually imagined this conference taking place in the middle of. And although it wasn't logistically possible, that maybe that idea could pervade today's proceedings. And then last but not least, I'd thank the Graham Foundation for their major support for this conference and for a forthcoming publication. And Sarah Hurd is joining us today from Chicago on behalf of the foundation. And then, of course, Goldsmith Center for Architectural Research. And this conference in general, as Detlef has just mentioned, and this morning's event was, from its inception, structured around their presence and participation. So it's, a great pleasure to welcome you all actually here finally, and for AL to welcome him back to Philadelphia. As you've probably noticed, there's quite a few books that are available outside. They're authored or edited by the various participants in today's proceedings. This is courtesy of the University of Pennsylvania Bookstore, and so we encourage you to browse those and purchase those. Other publications that we weren't able to order at the last minute are nevertheless available in the brochures that you've probably been handed out and as downloads from the Slott Foundation website. And the schedule of the conference will be projected over the course of today's session on these screens. And as I've said, Sergio and Catherine are going to speak in just a few minutes to the logistics of this morning. But what I want to quickly do is just call your attention to the evening sessions tonight at Slott and to the events on Saturday. Tonight at Slott Foundation, which is up the street at 4017 Walnut, Sam Weber, Eduardo Cadava, Catherine Liu, Peter Krapp, and our own Jean-Michel Rabaté are going to engage and respond to Sam Weber's recent article, Networks, Net War, and Narratives. This article was originally published in Grey Room. It later took the form of an expanded chapter in his recent book, On the Militarization of Thinking. This text is available online, as I've mentioned, and as a download from Grey Room. And in a usual fashion for us at Slott, the event will take the form of a conversation as a public event. And there'll be brief introductory remarks by the various conversants, and then a conversation will ensue, hopefully with your participation. The event tonight is Sam's first presentation at Slott, but Eduardo, Catherine, Jean-Michel, of course, have been frequent collaborators with us, and so I hope that you'd access the recordings at a later date. The topics that they've addressed at Slott are incredibly wide-ranging. They range from paranoia to superstition to the politics of mourning, the concept of the rogue, and Lacan and television. So again, there's a history in a way to many of the people that will be here in these upcoming events. On Saturday, very quickly, tomorrow, two events are going to take place that will round out the conference. One is a conversation roving tour of Eastern State Penitentiary here in Philadelphia. The tour will be led by their program director, Sean Kelly. For years, delegations have journeyed to Philadelphia in the manner of ours today to actually study and to visit the Pennsylvania system and the architecture of that prison of Eastern State. And after 142 years of consecutive use, the penitentiary was abandoned in 1971. And although it still attracts tourists in its present incarnation, it's as a historic site today, a world of crumbling cell blocks and empty guard towers. So that tour will take place from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. tomorrow at 2124 Fairmont Avenue. And if you have the time, there's a downloadable photo essay that you can download from the Slott site that explains in a way the history of the site, but also the way they've deliberately distressed the site in the name of historic preservation, which was something we thought would be apropos of today's discussion. And then last but not least, the second event for tomorrow features Tom Levine and the Goldsmiths Roundtable Group. And this will be from 1 to 4 p.m. at Slott, and it'll examine quite broadly surveillance technologies and their more recent incarnation in the form of data surveillance. And again, this is responding to a pre-circulated paper on the rhetorics of surveillance, an exhibition and a book that Tom had organized at the ZKM, and which is now available through MIT. So as you can see, each of these events has a different logic, a different temporal logic, and they've each posited a different form of conversational engagement that I think Sergio and Catherine will each speak to. And hopefully you can get a sense of this as the day proceeds, but this morning will be somewhat rapid, and hopefully tonight there'll be a different, in a way, logic to how the conversation plays out. As Sergio is going to explain very shortly, we don't really intend this conference as a platform for evasivers or a first opportunity for interdisciplinarity. We do see the proceedings, however, as an opportunity to learn about each other's practices while exploring the possible meanings and applications of the concept of evasions, and by extension of the phrase evasions of power. In the remarks that follow, Sir John, Catherine, and I each hope to introduce you to some of the ideas that, as curators and organizers, we discussed and considered over these many months in Philadelphia or in Skype chat sessions. Each of us doesn't necessarily read and interpret this word, evasions, in the same way. And indeed, I think it's fair to say that we each attribute a certain indeterminacy and productive layering of readings to the concept itself. It is our hope that we might learn in turn from you about this word evasions and this phrase evasions of power, what it might mean in relation to your own practices. We thought by way of an introduction this, to simply explain ourselves then and to give voice to some of the different ideas that we each brought to the table and continue to debate, even late last night. To speak of evasions is to speak, for me, of the question of borders, of the way that we define, demarcate, and delineate space, politics, institutions, define our friends and our enemies, distinguish the guest from the foreigner, the true from the counterfeit, the hospitable from the inhospitable. It is to speak as well of the way in which we define our concept of home, our sense of community, the way we constitute our very identities. Some years ago, in the book Cities Without Citizens, Eduardo Cadava, who will speak tonight, and I had explored the paradox of this, our present moment, a moment in which borders are at one and the same time multiplying today through all sorts of surveillant technologies, legal doctrines, physical blockades, but also simultaneously dissolving and dissipating in a process that is at once disorienting and, of course, destabilizing. Evasions of power. Is there not something nostalgic, though, to this phrasing, to this term, as if it were almost a lament or a lamentation for a pastime, a fiction, no doubt, when power itself might have been simply evaded on the side of the negative or the bad, and borders might be something so easily demarcated? Evasions of power, then, has to me a sort of rhetoric of obsolescence. It's a lament for a time when power might have been thought of as something one might have in the past simply figured or pointed at, evaded, targeted, avoided at all costs. In my use of the word targeting, I mean to acknowledge Sam Weber's terminology, and we'll return to this later tonight, namely in this recent book of his, this essay that we have pre-circulated, the idea and the concept of targeting, a militaristic as well as an interpretive strategy that seeks to narrow the field of options, to pinpoint with precision, and yet which inevitably gives rise to a certain indeterminacy, which necessarily misses its mark, as in the current situation in Iraq. The panopticon that is Eastern State, and that each of you will hopefully see tomorrow, would perhaps be a perfect example of a Foucauldian structure where power could be thought to reside, perhaps not visibly on the part of the prisoners in that case, but nevertheless structurally. There would be no mistaking a certain politics of observation there and the constitution of the subject in that mode of perception. Today, however, perhaps it would be a mistake to imagine that power might be something so easily construed, localized, of course evaded, that a certain state power might reside on one side, on the side of the negative or the bad, and us on the other, on the side of the good, as if what we are here loosely defining as power didn't fundamentally haunt our own concepts, determine and mark our own practices. What I mean to suggest, and admittedly brief here in haste, is that we might imagine this title as gesturing to a past moment, perhaps a fiction, precisely a fiction, but an important and a structural one, a moment when one might simply have evaded what Derrida at one point calls state culture, a culture that always threatens to normalize and homogenize. This fiction, however, would also be a warning, one that would offer us a certain degree of insight and cautionary instruction as to how to move forward in the future. I'm thinking here, for instance, of the role of the Alternative Art Institution from the 1960s and the 1970s in the New York scene, which sought to quite literally create an alternative, a peripheral framework for artistic practice. Through the bombed-out aesthetic of the gallery interior, which we associate with, say, PS1 in the old days, through physical separation in a geographic sense, in opposition to prevailing institutions, and through the instantiation of practices which sought to derivate from existing norms and cultural predilections. Many of these alternative spaces sought to assume an explicitly oppositional status in the cultural establishment, positions that would be unmarked geographically, but also intellectually and artistically, by the perceived centers of authority. Today, and this is just my last few remarks, today we are perhaps witnessing the failure of that model, a model that presumed the absence of state culture altogether, that sought to cultivate the ability to operate outside of and unfettered by all such confines, a model that mistakenly assumed that state culture could be evaded or betrayed. In turn, a more interventionist mode of operation perhaps pervades today. And indeed, many of the participants that we've invited to today's proceeding perhaps represent that. I'm thinking of Shuman Bassar and his recent work on the idea of participation. I'm thinking of Anselm Frank. I'm thinking of Catherine Carlin Surjan, whose recent Yona Friedman exhibition. It would also be a model in a way for what I would think of as a more interventionist sort of practice. So I'm going to stop here on this deconstructive note, suggesting that in the very sounding out of this title, Evasions of Power, we might hear then a call, a cautionary tale, an invocation of the future, but also a nostalgic lament or a cry for how we might have thought of evading in the past. Derrida, in a recent collection of interviews, points, suggests that in the face of the new powers and the new structures that are appearing today in the media, in the political realm, even in the cultural spaces that we're all connected to, it's not that one has to go into retreat or avoid taking positions or assume a certain militancy in arguing one's cause or invoking a certain urgency of the crisis. Quite to the contrary, the moment has perhaps come, Derrida suggests, to think closely, quote, to do more and better, that is otherwise, to redefine the relation between culture and the state. State culture has always represented the most serious danger, he continues, but a certain kind of massive anti-statism, that is, an anarchic kind of evasiveness in the context of today's discussion, can be incapable of situating the state in modern society, as if it were absent, as if it didn't exist. A certain discourse of evasion, then, can misapprehend or combat the very role that the state could and should play today, a role which is, nevertheless, paradoxical, urgent, and crucial for Derrida to give counterculture its chance to limit the mechanisms of standardization, appropriation, monopolization, and so forth. Approaching these structures in a more Derridian, say, or a deconstructive way, where the state must paradoxically play a role in supporting a certain heterodoxy, and that would perhaps be one of our tasks today, to think this, to think how this might be possible, the seemingly impossible task. And this would, again, return us to today's proceedings and the complicated possibilities that each of your work entails and brings forth. So I'm going to stop here, and thank you all for joining us and spending your time with us today.
Thanks, Aaron. My name is Sarjan. Do you hear me? Thanks. My name is Sarjan Weiss, and I am a lecturer here at University of Pennsylvania. Also, I'm an architect at Herzog and Emmeron Architects in Basel at the moment. And first of all, I would like to, of course, I have to thank to Detlef for allowing me to start a new section, I think, in this school, in this department, which we kind of clumsily called Architecture and Geopolitics. And I think when he asked me to propose a seminar or a conference, I had no idea that we could actually end up with such an incredibly rich program. In fact, I'm almost scared to think about what we are going to see. But I also want to say that in a very quick way that the main questions that really surround our work, which increasingly is shifting between different technologies, different strategies, different academic programs like the one which is started by AL at the Goldsmiths College Center for Architecture Research, to actually rethink, if not revise, ways how we stand to each other. That is to say that that this is really not intended to be. Actually, can we not show this now, please? Can you just please shut it down? Thanks. That is to say that this really is not meant to be a conference, especially not interdisciplinary conference, because we think that all of the work that are going to be shown here are really speaking for themselves. And the only way for us to, let's say, make a section or make a cross-check is to filter them through a single issue. Now, we spend a lot of time discussing this. Aaron already has written a history of the conference. It's going to happen. And but that's what I want to say, that we are in forever disadvantage between disciplines, between each other, something that has been also theorized as amateurism, or let's say kind of trans, kind of trying to be something else. But what I want to say is here is that our main question really is that how are the questions of conflict, of human rights, articulated today in fields such as architecture, such as art and curating and literary study? How is power theorized? Because as you may see, there is no power without evasions. How is power evaded? And how evasive is power itself? And how can institutions aspire not just to accumulate power, but also to evade forms of authority? This is something that our practices may think about. And then what practices and forms might occupy such an institution, and how it may exist, invent, or build? Having said that, I would like to then continue with saying that this is then really an array, looking for a large array of distinct practices that each talk about themselves, and we are trying to map them up. And our expectation is to end up with a sort of a glossary of evasions, as strategic as it may be, or as willful as it may be. So I'll pass it on to Catherine, and then we go on.
Hi, I want to thank everyone for coming, because it's wonderful to see such a turnout from all over the world. That's really, really wonderful. And I want to thank Detlef for instigating this project and conference, and for Aaron and Surgeon for inviting me to be part of it, and to work with all the people here, also in the department, who have been so helpful, and the students who have been so helpful. So Aaron is working in the field of literature and English, and Surgeon in the field of architecture, and I'm working in the field of curating and visual art and spatial practice through those lines, through visual means. And so likewise, the panels are also this diverse. And just to underscore again that the evasions of power, instead of preemptively saying what we think these things are, it's more important, we think, to have that come out throughout the day from everyone who's going to be participating, and also who's listening, and therefore also participating throughout the discussions. And so that we specifically do not want to arrive actually at a consensus in any way at the end. It's not the point, or any manifestos, but in fact to look at this kind of prism of effect of evasions. So that's kind of where we're heading, in a way, throughout the day. And that these evasions do have a variety of intensities and a variety of scales, and so that it's perhaps not something that's a qualitative question of evasions of power, good or evil. There's more of a prism associated with that. Right now, I just wanted to mention that as a curator, I'm very interested in and compelled by practice of all different kinds that really point to the moments of a really willful evasion of power, and evasion of systems, but the moment at which there's a real will. And that brings up problems and questions that I think we can talk about later. And this willfulness, or this moment, is brought about perhaps in cases when evasion has a disproportionate scale and can somehow be more expansive than itself. And that brings up a range of problems that I'd be interested to talk about later. In my panel with institutions, we want to look at the ramifications of this for institutions specifically, and the problems of an inadequate, the impossibility, actually, of an adequate representation of evasion and what that means. But to step back from that and just go into some logistics, because we'll be discussing these things throughout the day, but just logistics for the morning, what we'll do is we'll have the three sessions, and each panelist has been asked to speak for 10 minutes, and so it will go pretty quickly. This is to really see this, again, this kind of prism of lots of different relationships with evasions, and then to be able to discuss these things in relationship, although not a consensus. And so what I'd like to do, also there'll be 5 minutes between each of the panels for some break and logistics. So at this point, I'd like to just invite the people who are participating on the first panel to come to the table, and Surgeon is going to introduce now. So we'll kind of move quite smoothly right in first panel.